Tonight's a very special service for our church. Tonight we get to remember and celebrate what our Lord Jesus Christ did for us, the pain that he suffered, the rejection, the scourging, the complete wrath of God for our sin. The pastor said it well this morning when he said, there's nothing we could do to pay for our sin. I believe that's why hell is for eternity, because if we could pay off our sin, hell wouldn't be for eternity. Our sin, when we fall and we sin against an eternally holy God, there is eternal holy judgment. And the beauty of the cross and what we're going to celebrate tonight is that God's eternal wrath was given, as it was poured out on His Son on the cross so that we could be free. And so it's with humility and gratitude and greatness, gratefulness that we come tonight. So I just want to start us with a word of prayer. Tonight's different. It'll gradually get darker and darker for us in here. The visual idea is the going into the tomb, Christ going to the tomb. This traditionally is a Good Friday service, but we do it here on Palm Sunday. And then Easter Sunday morning, we'll celebrate His resurrection. So let's pray together. Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for the cross. Lord, thank you for condescending yourself, taking on the form of a slave. You didn't consider equality with God as something to be used in your favor, but you humbled yourself. Lord, your word says so clearly, God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so, Lord, we know that that your love is real. We know that it's true and right and everlasting because of what we see in the picture of the cross. And we pray, Lord God, that as we celebrate, remember, think through, sing about, listen to your scriptures, Lord, that our very heart of hearts would be riveted to you, listening to you, responding to you during this time. And as we come to take our church offering before we start, Lord, we thank you for the privilege of meeting here in a free country, doing things like this, and meeting in a building that's well marked. We don't have to hide, and we know that we are free and protected. We thank you for the mere material blessings that we have. Truly, our closets are full of clothes, Lord. Our cupboards are full of food. Our gas tanks are full of gas, Lord. Even in the hardest financial struggles here in America, we are so blessed compared to the other parts of the world. And so, Lord, we thank you and we bless your name. You are our giver, and every good and perfect gift comes from you. In Christ's name, amen. Let's take our church offering. Thank you. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 21, says this: As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples and saying to them, Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to daughter Zion, See, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. And the disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, and they placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven! And when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred, and they asked, Who is this? And the crowds answered, This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee.
Let's stand and sing together. Praise is rising, eyes are turning to you. We turn to you. Hope is stirring, hearts are yearning. We long for you. Cause when we see you, we find strength to face the day. And in your presence, all our fears are washed away. They're washed away. Hosanna! Hosanna! You are the God who saves us, worthy of all our praises. Hosanna, Hosanna, come have your way among us. We welcome you here, Lord Jesus. Hear the turning to you, we turn to you. In your kingdom, broken lives are made new. You make us new. Cause when we see you, we find strength to face the day. And in your presence, all our fears, they're washed away. They're washed away. Hosanna, Hosanna. You are the God who saves us, worthy of all our praises. Hosanna, Hosanna, come have your way among us. We welcome you here, Lord Jesus. Cause when we see you, we find strength to face the day. And in your presence, all our fears, they're washed away. Cause when we see you, we find strength to face the day. And in your presence, all our fears, they're washed away. They're washed away. Hosanna! Hosanna, you are the God who saves us, worthy of all.
from Matthew's Gospel. The first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Where do you want us to make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" He replied, "Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says, my appointed time is near. I'm going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house.'" So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them and prepared the Passover. When evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, "I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me." They were very sad and began to say to him one after the other, "Surely not I, Lord." Jesus replied, "The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will go just as it was written about him. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born." Then Judas, the one who would betray him, said, "Surely not I, Rabbi." Jesus answered, "Yes, it is you." And while they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Come to the Lord's table tonight. I want to remind you that this is his table, not ours. He determines who comes to his table. The Lord's table is for his children, his sons and daughters, those who have confessed their faith in him through the waters of believers' baptism. And so for those of you who may have never experienced a saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I would just simply ask you to pass the elements on by. As the scripture says, if we take of that bread and drink of that cup in an unworthy manner, we bring judgment upon ourselves. And we certainly don't want to do that. But for those of us who have repented of our sins, and for those of us who have placed our faith in the finished atoning work of Jesus on Calvary's cross, this is a very special time. This is a time for us to draw near to our Savior, to allow the Spirit of God to search our hearts and see if there's any unconfessed sin in our lives, that we might be quick to repent and to give thanks to God for the indescribable gift of his Son, our Savior. Apostle Paul penned these words to the brothers and sisters that made up the church in Corinth regarding the Lord's table. "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Would you pray with me? Our God and our Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus, who left the splendor and glory of heaven and came, born of the Virgin Mary, grew up in a out-of-the-way village in Galilee. He stepped on the world stage and for 3 years did great miracles, extraordinary teachings, but who came into this world primarily to die, to offer himself as a sacrifice for our sins. praise you, Lord Jesus, for your obedience to the will of the Father. We praise you that on that cross you did propitiate our sins, and the wrath of God has been turned away. And we rejoice in that tonight. So we praise you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, great God that you are. Blessed be your name. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you.
Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. He who eats this bread will live forever. The Apostle Paul writes, in the same way after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. Would you pray with me again? Our God and our Father, we thank you that even though our sin is so great, that only the blood that Jesus would shed on the cross could remit our sins and cleanse us, that you sent Jesus as the Lamb of God. Promise of the Holy Scripture that though our sins be as scarlet, they shall be white like snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And we thank you for the cleansing flow of the blood of the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus. Blessed be his name. Scripture says, apart from the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with the other, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all unrighteousness. For as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we do proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
From Matthew 26, verses 31 through 56. Then Jesus told them, "This very night you will all fall away on account of me, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." Peter replied, "Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will." "Truly I tell you," Jesus answered, "this very night, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." But Peter declared, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the other disciples said the same.
Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little farther, he fell on his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Couldn't you men keep watch with me for 1 hour?" he asked Peter. "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away once more and prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come, and the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer."
While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him was a large crowd armed with swords and clubs, sent from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them. "The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him." Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. Jesus replied, "Do what you came for, friend." Then the man stepped forward, seized Jesus, and arrested him. With that, one of Jesus' companions reached for his sword, drew it out, and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear.
"Put your sword back in its place," Jesus said to him, "for all who draw the sword will die by the sword. Do you think I cannot call on my Father, and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen in this way?" In that hour, Jesus said to the crowd, "Am I leading a rebellion? You have come out with swords and clubs to capture me. Every day I sat in the temple courts teaching, and you did not arrest me. But this has all taken place that the writings of the prophets might be fulfilled." Then all the disciples deserted him and fled.
Those who arrested Jesus took him to Caiaphas the high priest, where the teachers of the law and elders had assembled. But Peter followed him at a distance, right up to the courtyard of the high priest. He entered and sat down with the guards to see the outcome. The chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin were looking for false evidence against Jesus so that they could put him to death. But they did not find any, though many false witnesses came forward. Finally, two came forward and declared, "This fellow said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and rebuild it in 3 days.'" Then the high priest stood up and looked at Jesus and said to him, "Are you not going to answer? What is this testimony that these men are bringing against you?" But Jesus remained silent. The high priest said to him, "I charge you under oath by the living God, tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God." "You have said so," Jesus replied. "But I say to all of you, from now on, you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Majesty on high and coming on the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his robes and said, "He has spoken blasphemy. What do we need of any more witnesses? Look now, you have heard the blasphemy. What do you think?" "He is worthy of death," they answered. Then they spit in his face and struck him with their fists. Others slapped him and said, "Prophesy to us, Messiah. Who hit you?" Now Peter was sitting out in the courtyard, and a servant girl said to him, "You also were with Jesus of Galilee," she said. But he denied it before them all. "I don't know what you're talking about," he said. Then he went out to the gateway, where another servant girl saw him and said to the people there, "This fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth." He denied it again with an oath, "I don't know the man." After a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, "Surely you are one of them, for your accent gives you away." Then he began to call down curses and swore to them, "I don't know the man." Immediately, a rooster crowed. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken, "Before the rooster crows, you will disown me 3 times." And he went out at his side and wept bitterly.
Thank you. early in the morning, all the chief priests and the elders of the people made their plans how to have Jesus executed. So they bound him, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate, the governor. When Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that Jesus was condemned, he was seized with remorse and returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders. "I have sinned," he said, "for I have betrayed innocent blood." "What is that to us?" they replied. "That's your responsibility." So Judas threw the money into the temple and left. Then he went away and hanged himself. The chief priest picked up the coins and said, "It is against the law to put this into the treasury since it is blood money." So they decided to use the money to buy the potter's field as a burial place for foreigners. That is why it has been called the field of blood to this day. Then what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled. They took the 30 pieces of silver, the price set on him by the people of Israel, and they used them to buy the potter's field, as the Lord commanded me.
Meanwhile, Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "You have said so," Jesus replied. When he was accused by the chief priests and the elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate asked him, "Don't you hear the testimony they are bringing against you?" But Jesus made no reply, not even to a single charge, to the great amazement of the governor. Now, it was the governor's custom at the festival to release a prisoner chosen by the crowd. At that time, they had a well-known prisoner whose name was Jesus Barabbas. So when the crowd had gathered, Pilate asked them, "Which one do you want me to release to you, Jesus Barabbas or Jesus who's called the Messiah?" For he knew it was out of self-interest that they had handed Jesus over to him.
While Pilate was sitting on the judge's seat, his wife sent him this message: "Don't have anything to do with that innocent man, for I had suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus executed. "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" asked the governor. "Barabbas," they answered. "What shall I do then with Jesus, who is called the Messiah?" Pilate asked. They all answered, "Crucify him." "Why, what crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him." When Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but that instead an uproar was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd. "I am innocent of this man's blood," he said. "It is your responsibility." All the people answered, "His blood is on us and on our children." Then he released Barabbas to them, but he had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified.
Then the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole company of soldiers around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand. Then they knelt in front of him and mocked him. "Hail, King of the Jews," they said. They spit on him and took the staff and struck him on the head again and again. After they had mocked him, they took off the robe, put his own clothes on him, and they led him away to crucify him. As they were going out, they met a man from Cyrene named Simon, and they forced him to carry the cross.
came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. There they offered Jesus wine to drink mixed with gall, but after tasting it, he refused to drink it. When they had crucified him, they divided up his clothes by casting lots. And sitting down, they kept watch over him there. Above his head, they placed the written charge against him. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Two rebels were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those that passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from the cross if you are the Son of God." In the same way, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders mocked him. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him, for he said, I am the Son of God." In the same way, the rebels who were crucified with him also heaped insults on him. From noon until 3 p.m, darkness came over all the land. About 3 p.m, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Some of those standing there heard this. They said, "He's calling Elijah." Immediately one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine vinegar, put it on a staff, and offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him." And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. That moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split, and the tombs broke open. The bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many people. When the centurion and those who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of God." Many women were there watching from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee to care for his needs. And among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's sons. And here we have the account, the most extraordinary day in human history, when God, the Son, was crucified by sinful men. When God the Father, who orchestrated this event in eternity past, brought it to fruition, and the Son of God became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of Christ. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Anyone, anywhere who will trust in him, his finished substitutionary atoning work, will be forgiven and redeemed and reconciled to the Creator of the universe. This is the gospel of the Son of God. But it's not just that Jesus died for us. He did, in our place, to bear our sins, to become sin for us, to take away our guilt and our judgment and our shame and our sin. The scripture also says that when he died in Christ, we died with him. But Paul put it this way, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me." All of us who are in Christ have been crucified with Christ. He died for us. We died with him. And so it is incumbent upon every professing follower of the Lord Jesus Christ to daily yield himself or herself to the lordship of Christ and count himself or herself dead indeed to sin and self and Satan and situations and strongholds, and alive to Christ, and walk in that victory which Jesus has won for us by his own death. Sin no longer has dominion over us. The victory has been won. Let us walk in the victory which Jesus won for us by his death. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them.
Darkest day.
As evening approached, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who had himself become a disciple of Jesus. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body, and Pilate ordered that it be given to him. Jesus took the body, wrapped it in clean linen cloth, and placed it in his own tomb that he had cut out of the rock. He rolled a big stone in front of the entrance to the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting there opposite the tomb. The next day, the one after preparation day, the chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate. "Sir," they said, "we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said, 'After 3 days I will rise again.' So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he has risen, that he has been raised from the dead. This last deception will be worse than the first." "Take a guard," Pilate answered. "Go, make the tomb as secure as you know how." So they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting a guard.